115. The Wrong Passion. They came from another world, using powers that we have been forbidden to touch. Dangerous powers of spren and surges. They destroyed their lands and have come to us begging. From the Aayla Steeley. A spry ocean wind blew in through the window, shaking Dalinar's hair as he stood in his villa in Thalen City. The wind was sharply chill, crisp. It didn't linger, but passed him by, turning the pages of his book with a quiet ruffling sound. It fled from the Everstorm. Crimson, furious, burning. The Everstorm's clouds flowed in from the west. Like blood billowing in water, each new thunderhead spurted from the one behind it, hemorrhaging fits of lightning. And beneath the storm, within its shadow and upon those tempestuous seas, ships dotted the waves.
"Ships," he whispered. "They sailed during the storm?"
"He controls it," the Stormfather said, his voice diminutive, like the pattering of rain.
"He uses it, as Honor once used me."
So much for stopping the enemy in the ocean. Dalinar's fledgling armada had fled to take shelter from the storm, and the enemy had sailed in uncontested. The coalition had shattered anyway. They wouldn't defend this city. The storm slowed as it darkened the bay in front of Thalen City, then seemed to stop. It dominated the sky to the west, but strangely did not proceed. Enemy ships landed in its shadow, many ramming right up onto the shores. Amaram's troops flooded out of the gates to seize the ground between bay and city. There wasn't enough room for them to maneuver on top of the wall. The Alethi were field troops, and their best chance of victory would involve hitting the Parshmen while they disembarked. Behind them, Thalen troops mounted the wall, but they were not veterans. Their navy had always been their strength. Dalinar could faintly hear General Kahl on the street below, shouting for runners and scribes to send word to Yuathiru, calling up the Alethi reinforcements.
"Too slow," Dalinar thought.
Suitably deploying troops could take hours, and though Amaram was hustling his men, they weren't going to get together in time for a proper assault on the ships. And then there were the fused, dozens of which launched into the skies from the ships. He imagined his armies bottlenecked as they left the Oath Gate, assaulted from the air as they tried to fight through the streets to reach the lower portion of the city. It came together with a frightening beauty. Their armada fleeing the storm, their armies unprepared, the sudden evaporation of support.
"He's planned for everything."
"It's what he does."
"You know, cultivation warned me that my memories would return. She said she was pruning me. Do you know why she did that? Did I have to remember?"
"I do not know. Is it relevant?"
"That depends upon the answer to a question," Dalinar said.
He carefully closed the book atop the dresser before the window, then felt the symbols on its cover.
"What is the most important step that a man can take?"
He straightened his blue uniform, then slipped the tome off the table. With the Way of Kings a comfortable weight in his hand, he stepped out the door and into the city.
"All this way?" Shallan whispered. "And they're already here?" Kaladin and Adolin stood like two statues to either side of her, their faces twin stoic masks. She could see the Oath Gate distinctly. That round platform at the edge of the bridge was the exact size of the control buildings. Hundreds upon hundreds of strange spren stood in the lake of beads that marked the shore of Thalen City. They looked vaguely humanoid, though they were twisted and odd, like shimmering dark light. More the scribbled outlines of people, like drawings she'd done in a maddened state. On the shore, a large dark mass of living red light surged across the obsidian ground. It was something more terrible than all of these, something that made her eyes hurt to look upon. And as if that weren't enough, a half dozen fused passed overhead, then landed on the bridge that led to the Oathgate platform.
"They knew," Adolin said.
They led us here with that cursed vision. Be wary, Shallan whispered, of anyone who claims to be able to see the future. No! No, that wasn't from him! Kaladin looked between them, frantic, and finally turned to Syl for support. It was like when the Stormfather, Azure warned us from this path, Adolin said. And what else could we have done? Kaladin said, then hushed his voice, pulling back with the rest of them into the shadowed concealment of the trees. We couldn't go to the Horneater Peaks like Azure wanted. The enemy waits there too. Everyone says their ships patrol there. Kaladin shook his head. This was our only option. We don't have enough food to return, Adolin said.
Even if we did, Syl whispered, where would we go? They hold Celebrant. They're watching this Oath Gate, so they're probably watching the others.
Shallan sank down on the obsidian ground. Pattern put his hand on her shoulder, humming softly with concern. Her body yearned for stormlight to wash away her fatigue. Light could make an illusion, change this world into something else, at least for a few moments, so she could pretend.
Kaladin is right, Syl said. We can't back down now. Our remaining gemstones won't last much longer.
We have to try, Kaladin said with a nod. Try what, Cal? Adolin said. Take on an army of Voidbringers by ourselves?
I don't know how the portal works, Shallan added. I don't even know how much stormlight it might require.
We'll try something, Kaladin said. We have stormlight still. An illusion? A distraction? We could get you to the Oath Gate and you could find out how to free us. He shook his head. We can make it work. We have to.
Shallan bowed her head, listening to Pattern hum. Some problems could not be fixed with a lie.
Yasna carefully stepped out of the way of a troop of soldiers running for the Oath Gate. She had been informed via Spanreed that troops were gathering in Urithiru to come help. Unfortunately, they would soon have to acknowledge what she already knew. Thalen City was lost. Their adversary had played this hand too well. That angered her, but she kept that emotion in check. At the very least, she hoped that Amaram's band of malcontents would soak up arrows and spears long enough to let the Thalen civilians evacuate. Lightning from the storm lit the city red. Focus. She had to focus on what she could do, not what she had failed to do. First, she had to see that her uncle didn't get himself killed fighting a useless battle. Second, she needed to help evacuate Thalen City. She had already warned Urithiru to prepare for refugees. Both these goals would wait a short time as she dealt with a matter even more pressing.
The facts align, Ivory said. The truth, that has always been, will now soon manifest to all.
He rode upon the high collar of her dress, tiny, holding on with one hand.
You are correct. A traitor is.
Yasna undid the buttons on her safe hand sleeve and pinned it back, exposing the gloved hand underneath. In preparation, she'd also worn a scout's yellow and gold hava, with shorter skirts slit at the sides and front, trousers underneath, sturdy boots. She turned out of the path of another group of cursing soldiers and strode up the steps to the doorway of the temple of Pelaya Elin. True to the information she'd been given, she found Renarin Kolin kneeling on the floor inside, head bowed, alone. A spren rose from his back, bright red, shimmering like the heat of a mirage. A crystalline structure like a snowflake, though it dripped light upward toward the ceiling. In her pouch, she carried a sketch of the proper spren of the Truth Watchers. And this was something different. Yasna put her hand to the side. Then, taking a deep breath, summoned Ivory as a shard blade. Venli hopped down from the ship's improvised gangway. The city before her was yet another marvel. built up the side of a mountain, it looked almost like it had been cut from the stone, sculpted like the winds and rain had shaped the shattered plains. Hundreds of singers streamed around her. Hulking fused walked among them, bearing carapace armor as impressive as any shard plate. Some of the ordinary singers wore war form, but unlike their Alethi counterparts, they had not been through combat training. Azish, Thalen, Marathi, a host of nationalities, these newly awakened singers were frightened, uncertain. Venli attuned agony. Would they force her to march to the front line? She didn't have much battle training either. Even with a form of power, she'd be cut to ribbons.
Like my people on the field of Narak, who were sacrificed to birth the Everstorm.
Odium seemed very quick to expend the lives of both listener and singer. Timber pulsed to peace in her pouch, and Venli rested her hand on it.
Hush, she whispered to Agony. Hush! Do you want one of them to hear you?
Timber reluctantly softened her pulsings, though Venli could still feel a faint vibration from her pouch, and that relaxed her. She almost thought that she could hear the rhythm of peace herself. One of the hulking fused called for her.
You, listener woman, come.
Venli attuned the rhythm of destruction. She would not be intimidated by these, gods though they be. She stepped up to this one and kept her head high. The fused handed her a sword in a sheath. She took it, then attuned subservience.
I've used an axe before, but not...
Carry it,
he said, eyes glowing softly red.
You may need to defend yourself.
She did not object further. There was a fine line between respectful confidence and defiance. She belted the sword on her slender body, wishing she had some carapace.
Now,
the fused said to Conceit, striding forward and expecting her to keep up.
Tell me what this little one is saying.
Venli followed him to a gathering of singers in work form, holding spears. She had been speaking to the fused in the ancient language, but these were speaking in Thalen.
I'm an interpreter, she thought, relaxing. That's why they wanted me on the battlefield.
What was it? Venli said to derision, addressing the one the fused had indicated. You wished to say to the Holy One?
We...
The singer licked his lips.
We aren't soldiers, ma'am. We're fishers. What are we doing here?
Though a shade of the rhythm of anxiety laced his words, his cringing form and face were the stronger indication. He spoke and acted like a human. She interpreted.
You are here to do as you are told,
the fuse told them through Venli.
In return, you are rewarded with further opportunities to serve.
Though his rhythm was derision, he didn't seem angry. More as if he were lecturing a child. She passed that along, and the sailors looked to each other, shuffling uncomfortably.
They wish to object, she told the fused. I can read it in them.
They may speak, he said.
She prompted them, and their leader looked down, then spoke to Anxiety.
It's just that Thalen City... This is our home. We're expected to attack it?
Yes,
the fused said after Venli interpreted.
They enslaved you. They tore your families apart, treated you like dumb animals. Do you not thirst for vengeance?
Vengeance?
The sailor said, looking to his fellows for support.
We're glad to be free. But, I mean... Some of them treated us pretty nice. Can't we just go settle somewhere and leave the Thalens alone?
No,
the fused said. Venli interpreted, then jumped to follow him as he stalked off.
Great one, she asked to subservience.
These have the wrong passion,
he said.
The ones who attacked Kolinar did so gladly.
The Alethi are a warlike people, Great One. It's not surprising they passed this on to their slaves. And perhaps these were better treated?
They were slaves for far too long. We need to show them a better way.
Venli stuck close to the Fused, happy to have found one that was both sane and reasonable. He didn't shout at the groups they visited, many of whom shared similar complaints. He merely had to repeat the same sorts of phrases.
You must seize vengeance, little ones. You must earn your passion. Qualify yourselves for greater service, and you will be elevated to the place of a regal, given a form of power. This land was yours long ago, before they stole it. You have been trained to be docile. We will teach you to be strong again.
The Fused remained calm, but fierce, like a smoldering fire, controlled, but ready to burst alight. He eventually walked to join some of his fellows. Around them, the Singer army formed up awkwardly, coating the land just east of the bay. Alethi troops mustered across a short battlefield, banners flapping. They had archers, heavy infantry, light infantry, even some outriders on horses.
Venli hummed to agony. This was going to be a slaughter.
She suddenly felt something odd, like a rhythm, but oppressive, demanding. It shook the very air, and the ground beneath her feet trembled. Lightning in the clouds behind seemed to flash to this rhythm, and in a moment she saw that the area around her was filled with ghostly spren.
Those are the spirits of the dead, she realized.
Fused who haven't yet chosen a body. Most were twisted to the point that she barely recognized them as singers. Two were roughly the size of buildings. One dominated even these, a creature of swirling violence, tall as a small hill, seemingly made up entirely of red smoke. She could see these overlaid on the real world, but somehow knew they would be invisible to most. She could see into the other world. That happened sometimes right before. A blistering heat shone behind her.
Venli braced herself.
She usually only saw him during the storms, but this was a storm. It hovered behind, immobile, churning the seas.
Light crystallized beside her, forming an ancient parchment with a face marbled gold and white, and a regal scepter he carried like a cane.
For once, his presence didn't vaporize her immediately.
Venli released a relieved breath.
This was more an impression than his true being. Still, power streamed from him like the tendrils of a vine bud waving in the wind, vanishing into infinity. Odium had come to personally supervise this battle.
Teft hid. He couldn't face the others. Not after what he'd done. Rock and Bissig bleeding, Eth dead. The room destroyed, the honor blade stolen. He had Honor Bridge 4. Uniform. Teft scrambled through the rock hallways, passing shame spren in bursts, looking for a place where nobody could see him. He'd done it again, to yet another group that trusted him. Just like with his family, whom he'd sold out in a misguided attempt at righteousness. Just like with his squad in Sadius's army, whom he'd abandoned for his addiction. And now, Bridge 4? He tripped on an uneven bit of stone in the dark hallway and fell, grunting, scraping his hand against the floor. He groaned, then lay there, knocking his head against the stone. Would that he could find some place hidden and squeeze inside, never ever to be found again. When he looked up, she was standing there, the woman made of light and air with curls of hair that vanished into mist.
Why are you following me? Teft growled. Go pick one of the others. Collect, pick anyone but me.
He rose and pushed past her. She had barely any substance, and continued down the hallway. Light from ahead showed that he'd accidentally made his way to the outer ring of the tower, where windows and balconies overlooked the Oathgate platforms. He stopped by a stone doorway, puffing, holding on with a hand that bled from the knuckles.
Teft, you don't want me. I'm broken. Piclopen, Rock, Sigzel, damnation woman, I...
What was that? Drawn by faint sounds, Teft walked into the empty room. Those sounds.
Shouts?
He walked out onto the balcony. Below, figures with marbled skin fluttered across one of the Oathgate platforms, the one that led to Kolinar. They were supposed to be locked, unusable. Scouts and soldiers began to shout in panic down below. Eurythiru was under attack.
Puffing from her run, Navani scrambled up the last few steps onto the wall of Thalen City. Here she found Queen Fenn's retinue. Finally! She checked her arm clock. If only she could find a Fabriel that would manipulate exhaustion, not just pain. Wouldn't that be something? There were exhaustion spren, after all. Navani strode along the wall walk toward Fenn. Below, Amaram's troops flew the new Sadius banner, the axe and the tower, white on forest green. Anticipation spren and fear spren, the eternal attendants of the battlefield, grew up around them. Sadius's men were still streaming through the gates, but already blocks of archers moved forward. They'd soon start pelting the disorganized Parshman army.
That storm, though. The enemy only keeps coming, Fenn said as Navani approached, her admirals making room. I'll soon get to judge your famed Alethi troops firsthand, as they fight an impossible battle.
Actually, Navani said, we're better off than it looks. The new Sadius is a renowned tactician. His soldiers are well rested, and, if lacking in discipline, known for their tenacity. We can attack the enemy before it finishes deploying. Then if they rebound and overwhelm us with numbers, we can pull back into the city until we get reinforcements. Kamakal, Fenn's consort, nodded.
This is winnable, Fenn. We might even be able to capture some of our ships back.
The ground shook. For a moment, Navani felt that she was on a swaying ship. She cried out, grabbing the battlement to keep from falling. Out in the field, between the enemy troops and the Alethi ones, the ground shattered. Lines and cracks split the stone, and then an enormous stone arm pulled itself from the ground, the fractures having outlined its hand, forearm, elbow, and upper arm. A monster easily 30 feet tall pulled itself from the stone, dropping chips and dust on the army below. Like a skeleton made of rock, it had a wedge-shaped head with deep, molten red eyes. Venli got to watch the thunderclasts awaken. Among the waiting spirits were two larger masses of energy, souls so warped, so mangled, they didn't seem singer at all. One crawled into the stone ground, somehow inhabiting it like a spren taking residence in a gem heart. The stone became its form. Then it ripped itself free of the rock. Around her, the Parshmen stumbled back in awe, so surprised that they actually drew spren. The thing loomed over the human forces, while its companion climbed into the stone ground, but didn't rip out immediately. There was one other, mightier than even these. It was out in the water of the bay, but when she looked into the other world, she couldn't help but glance toward it. If those two lesser souls had created such daunting stone monsters, then what was that mountain of power? In the physical realm, the fused knelt and bowed their heads toward Odium, so they could see him too. Venli knelt quickly, knocking her knees against the stone. Timber pulsed to anxiety, and Venli put her hand on the pouch, squeezing it. Quiet. We can't fight him.
Tarash,
Odium said, resting fingers upon the shoulder of the fused she had been following.
Old friend, you look well in this new body. Thank you, master,
Tarash said.
Your mind holds firm, Tarash. I am proud of you.
Odium waved towards Thalen City.
I have prepared a grand army for our victory today. What do you think of our prize? An excellent position of great import, even without the Oathgate,
Tarash said.
But I fear for our armies, master.
Oh? Odium asked.
They are weak, untrained, and frightened. Many may refuse to fight. They don't crave vengeance, master. Even with the Thunderclast, we may be outmatched.
These? Odium asked, looking over his shoulder at the gathered singers.
Oh, Tarash, you think too small, my friend. These are not my army. I brought them here to watch.
Watch what? Venli asked, looking up. She cringed, but Odium paid her no mind. Odium held his hands to the sides, yellow-gold power streaming behind his figure like a wind made visible. Beyond him in the other place, that red-churning power became more real. It was pulled into this realm completely, and the ocean boiled. Something came surging out. Something primeval, something Venli had felt but never truly known. Red mist, ephemeral, like a shadow you see on a dark day and mistake for something real. Charging red horses, angry and galloping, the forms of men killing and dying, shedding blood and reveling in it. Bones piled atop one another, making a hill upon which men struggled. The red mist climbed up from the surging waves, rolling out onto an empty section of rock, northward along the rim of the water. It brought to her a lust for the battlefield, a beautiful focus, a thrill for the fight.
The largest of the Spren, the roiling mass of red light, vanished from Shadesmar. Kaladin gasped and walked closer to the outer edge of the trees, feeling that power vacate this place and go to the other? Something's happening, he said to Adolin and Shallan, who were still discussing what to do. We might have an opening. They joined him and watched as the strange army of Spren began to vanish too, winking out in waves.
The Oathgate? Shallan asked. Maybe they're using it?
In moments, only the six fused remained, guarding the bridge.
Six, Kaladin thought. Can I defeat six?
Did he need to?
I can challenge them as a distraction, he said to the others. Maybe we can use some illusions as well. We can draw them off while Shallan sneaks over and figures out how to work the Oathgate.
I suppose we don't have any other choice, Adolin said. But...
What?
Kaladin said, urgent.
Aren't you worried about where that army went?
Passion, Odium said. There is great passion here.
Venli felt cold.
I have prepared these men for decades, Odium said. Men who want nothing so much as something to break. To gain vengeance against the one who killed their High Prince. Let the singers watch and learn. I've prepared a different army to fight for us today.
Ahead of them, on the battlefield, the human ranks slumped, their banner wavering. A man in glittering shard plate sitting upon a white horse led them. Deep within his helm, something started glowing red. The dark Spren flew toward the men, finding welcoming bodies and willing flesh. The red mist made them lust, made their minds open, and the Spren then bonded to the men, slipping into those open souls.
Master, you have learned to inhabit humans,
Tuarash said to subservience.
Spren have always been able to bond with them, Tuarash, Odium said. It merely requires the right mindset and the right environment. 10,000 Alethi in green uniforms gripped their weapons, their eyes glowing a deep, dangerous red.
Go, Odium whispered. Colin would have sacrificed you. Manifest your anger. Kill the Blackthorn who murdered your High Prince. Set your passion free. Give me your pain and seize this city in my name.
The army turned and, led by a shard bearer in gleaming plate, attacked Thalen City.